We've been talking about conditionality and over the last weeks talking about the conditions that support freedom. The conditions that support the qualities of mind that lead us in the direction of freedom. Last week we talked, last couple of weeks we've talked about happiness and happiness. The condition that happiness is said to support is concentration. Talked about that a little bit last week, but today I'd like to lean into concentration a little more, talk a little bit more about that. But first, to linger with this statement, happiness is a supportive condition for concentration. There's a couple different ways this is framed or phrased, other language that's used. I'll read one from one other sutta. For one who is happy, there is no need for an act of will. May my mind be concentrated. It is a natural law for one who is happy that the mind will be concentrated. Another expression of this from another list that concentration is found in, the five faculties, which are faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, wisdom. Another sutta says, it is to be expected that one who has faith, whose energy is aroused, and whose mindfulness is established, will gain concentration. So in this way of understanding it, concentration is a natural result of the practice. It's not something we will to have happen. There's an analogy given in the suttas about a hen. The analogy is more towards freedom. The analogy is pointing towards freedom, but I think it's applicable for this purpose too. So that I'll read the analogy. Suppose a hen has 8, 10, or 12 eggs. If she doesn't cover them rightly, warm them rightly, or incubate them rightly, then even though this wish may occur to her, oh, that my chicks might break out through the eggshells with their spiked claws and beaks and hatch out safely, still it is not possible that the chicks will break through the eggshells with their spiked claws and beaks and hatch out safely. Why is that? Because the hen has not covered them rightly, warmed them rightly, or incubated them rightly. But suppose a hen has 8, 10, or 12 eggs that she covers rightly, warms rightly, and incubates rightly. Even though this wish may not occur to her, oh, that my chicks might break through the eggshells with their spiked claws or beaks and hatch out safely. Still, it is possible that the chicks will hatch out safely. Why is that? Because the hen has covered them, warmed them, incubated them rightly. In the same way, even though this wish may not occur to one who dwells devoting themselves to development, oh, that my mind may be released through the ending of clinging. Still, one's mind may be released through the ending of clinging from developing the four foundations of mindfulness, the four wise efforts, etc. So the act of will that's pointed to here in the first quote that I read, for one who is happy, there's no need for an act of will. Let my mind be concentrated. The concentration follows when the conditions are being developed. And so this kind of unfolding, this happiness is a supportive condition for concentration, doesn't mean that there's no work to be done. Like with the hen, there's work that the hen needed to do in order for the eggs to hatch. She needed to cover them, warm them, incubate them. But doing those things, it didn't matter whether or not she wished for the result. The result was a natural condition based on the actions. And that's what's being pointed to here in terms of there's no need for an act of will, may my mind be concentrated. When we are cultivating the conditions that support and lead to concentration, the concentration is the result. So concentration, just a little bit about concentration. It's sometimes described as a mental unification, a stability of mind. It's said to manifest as non-distraction, the mind not being pulled out in other things. Composed, the mind collected, composed, gathered. Unbroken attentiveness is a quality of the concentrated mind. Tranquility is a quality of the concentrated mind. In this practice, concentration is a lovely quality of mind. When we taste it, the quality of that undistracted quality of mind, the freedom, the seclusion from the hindrances, it's delightful. It feels delightful to not have those happening. The quality of the mind that's concentrated feels delightful. It's very pleasant. And yet that's not the point of the concentration. We can easily kind of get kind of pulled to that or drawn to that kind of quality because it feels good. But when concentration is developed with this view, with the view that the Buddha points to, the aim or the purpose of concentration is developed to understand suffering, then the purpose of concentration is to understand the causes and conditions that lead us in the direction of suffering so that the mind will understand how to let them go. So mindfulness is supported by concentration, and concentration allows mindfulness to see very deeply into why suffering happens, and concentration and mindfulness allow the wisdom to develop that allows the release from suffering. So this is the purpose of concentration in this practice, in what the Buddha taught. The purpose of concentration is to support freedom from suffering. We can kind of get stuck in the little eddy of the pleasantness of concentration. And so it's helpful to remember, and for myself, actually, at one point I was doing a concentration retreat. I spent a couple years cultivating concentration practice, doing concentration practice in the form of breath meditation. And there were times where I thought, why am I doing this? You know, it feels good, but why am I doing this? and just every now and then I would remember, right, I'm doing this for the purpose or the sake of liberation. This is in the service of liberation. This is in the service of freedom. And that supported me to continue because, I mean, it was not easy. It was not easy to develop the concentration. And there were some pleasant states that arose, but at the same time, it's like the mind kept getting stuck. Was like, if this pleasant state, if this is what all this work is for, this isn't good enough. You know, it's kind of like it felt to me like it needed a better reason. And in the service of liberation was a better reason. So there's these different kinds of concentration I talked about last week a little bit, and I'm only going to briefly mention them again just to kind of highlight different ways into concentration. There's the one-pointed concentration, which is often what we think of when we think of concentration, staying with one object, letting everything else go, but that experience, like staying with the breath, just being with the breath and letting go of everything else. You know, this will stabilize the mind with the object of the breath. And so the entire experience gets very still. The object gets still, the mindfulness gets still, the experience gets more and more still. So tranquility is a key kind of a flavor of this kind of concentration. Another form of concentration is the concentration that develops connected with just pure mindfulness practice, just being aware of what's happening moment to moment in mindfulness. There's a stability of mindfulness. There's a stability of moment-to-moment awareness where the mind is concentrated not on one experience, but is concentrated so that it is not distracted. The experience of the attention going from one thing to another to another to another may initially be experienced kind of as the mind is distracted. But when we see that it's not distracted in that it knows every experience, it's not distracted into mindlessness, it's not distracted away from mindfulness, it knows one moment after the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And so this is a kind of non-distraction. When the mindfulness is not caught by one of those objects and then goes out and starts thinking about it or reacting to it. There's a unbroken attentiveness moment to moment. Not broken by thoughts or reactions. And so this too is a form of concentration. In this case, the experience is not one so much that the awareness gets tranquil, the awareness is stable, the awareness gets still, but the experience is not one of stillness because there's so much happening. And so that's a different flavor. It feels very different. That kind of concentration can feel very different. But both kinds of concentration are connected with, essentially, both kinds of concentration, the definition of concentration we could say is continuity of mindfulness moment to moment, where the hindrances are no longer arising. There's a continuity of mindfulness moment to moment, and the hindrances are no longer reacting to what's happening. There is just a stable knowing moment to moment of what's happening. The one-pointed kind of concentration, that moment-to-moment awareness, is coming back to the same object over and over again. With the moment-to-moment concentration, it may be many different objects, but the kind of key underlying feature between both of them is that mindfulness is present moment after moment after moment after moment. So it's a stability of mindfulness. Both kinds of concentration also have some other factors that are common. There's five factors of, they're called jhanic factors. They're factors that kind of come together to create the state of concentration. And both forms of concentration have these factors in the state of that stability of mindfulness. So these five factors are in Pali and then in English, vitakka, which means aiming the attention or connecting with an object, vichara, which means sustaining moment after moment, aware moment after moment, piti, which is joy. That was in our chain that we've been talking about, the chain of transcendent dependent origination. That's one of the factors in the chain. Sukha is the next jhanic factor. That's also in the chain of transcendent dependent origination that we've been talking about. And then the last factor is ekagata, or one-pointedness. And this one, I think it can mean different things in the one-pointed concentration where we're staying with one object. It means the kind of absorption into that object, or the kind of the sticking with that object. In the case of the moment-to-moment concentration, it is the kind of the penetrating, the connecting with every single object that happens as it goes moment-to-moment. So these five factors together, you know, the first two, the aiming and the sustaining, we can actually look at these five kind of as a different way to understand this first part of the chain of transcendent dependent origination, starting with faith. Faith leads us to engage, and vitaka and vichara are engaging qualities. They are how we engage with experience. We turn our attention, we aim our attention, and we attempt to keep it going. And so then from that aiming and sustaining, connecting with experience, the natural result is this arising of joy, the arising of happiness, and this arising essentially of concentration, the stability, the ekagata we could think of as the stability of the mind. So the work here, and to come back to what I was saying earlier of like the hen, what the work of the hen is to incubate and cover the eggs. In our work, the aiming and the sustaining of the attention are the work. That's how the practice unfolds. That's how, if we don't turn our attention to meeting the present moment, concentration won't arise. The thing that follows concentration in the chain of transcendent dependent origination is understanding things as they are, the beginnings of insight into how suffering happens, how freedom happens. And so without this vitaka vichara, none of this unfolds. So this is like the hen needing to do this work. But it's not like we have to really want the concentration, or have that kind of wish for concentration, or that holding on. The aiming and the sustaining, it's like how we do that aiming and the sustaining is how the concentration develops. So if we are aiming and sustaining with a lot of tension in the mind and a lot of trying to hold on, the kind of concentration that's going to develop is going to feel pretty brittle. It's going to feel pretty hard and tight. So the very way that we engage with being aware is what shapes the quality of the concentration. And so we, you know, the whole first part of this transcendent dependent origination, pointing to faith and delight and joy and tranquility, you know, all of those qualities kind of point to how we might engage with doing the concentration practice. And here I want to distinguish between the state of concentration. The state of concentration is the result. And that we can't make happen. That is the result of concentration practice. A concentration practice is not concentration itself, but it's skillful means to stabilize the attention, skillful means to stabilize the mind. And there's different forms of concentration practice. And, you know, metta practice is a concentration practice, and breath practice is a concentration practice. And the moment-to-moment awareness is a form of stabilizing the mind with concentration also. So the how we pay attention, how that aiming and sustaining happen is crucial in terms of the quality of concentration being infused with joy, delight, and happiness, and tranquility. It takes a really gentle kind of persistence, very soft, very light, a light touch. I think so often with our practice in general and concentration practice in particular, we are trying to hold on to the object, trying to hold on in order to will ourselves to be concentrated. That's the motivation. I want to get concentrated. And so we're trying to hold on to that object. And we can be with an object for a moment. For a moment, we can connect with an experience with ease. Right now, how hard is it to know? Like, let's just notice the sensations of your hands. Now the sensations of your feet. How about a breath? Can you know a breath right now? How hard is it? Can I name each of those things? It's usually pretty easy. Yeah, it's usually pretty easy to know those just in a moment. It is harder to sustain it. So that's the equivalent of aiming, right? That moment of connecting. We could call it connecting rather than aiming. Actually, I prefer connecting. Connect, connect, connect. Connect to experience. What's harder is to have the connection be sustained over time. That's that second quality of vichara. And really, in some ways, really, it is the connecting that's the work. We just connect for as long as we can easily, and then we do it again. And then we do it again, and again, and again. So it's connect and see how long it lasts. Connect and feel how long it sustains. And then as we might feel it start to weaken a little bit, connect again. That connect with a light touch will naturally evolve in a very organic way, will create the sustaining of the mindfulness. It takes some awareness of that experience, you know, how, like, I often use, I think all three of you have heard the analogy of the scooter, but I'll go ahead and I'll put it in here anyway. you know, the kind of the riding on a scooter, a kick scooter, the scooters that kids ride, to start from a stop, you have to put your foot down and tap on the ground. You tap and tap and tap. And at the beginning, you tap, 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 tap frequently. And that gets some momentum going. And then once there's a momentum going, you get familiar with that experience of the momentum. And you can ride for a while. You might put your foot down really hard and push really hard, but that might create a kind of a wobbly ride. You just tap and you find your balance, tap and balance, tap and balance, tap and balance. It's very light. And so the tapping creates the momentum that allows you to then just glide and ride for a while. And at that point, when there's a gliding for a while, putting your foot down would actually get in the way. It would kind of disrupt that. And so this is very like the way concentration develops. We make that connect effort, you know, connect to experience, connect to the next, just enough effort, just enough, that light tap, just enough to get a little bit of momentum, a light touch of connect, and then see how long it lasts. And then another moment and see how long it lasts. And that seeing how long it lasts is kind of the what we learn. And that's kind of the art of learning how to make the effort in concentration practice. Just enough effort to keep it going. Not so much effort that you're trying to hold on tightly, and not so little effort that you just kind of drift out. It's a delicate balance. It's a kind of an art form to find that. But that kind of very light touch, moment after moment, will develop, whether it's for the moment-to-moment awareness, this object, this experience, the next experience, this body sensation, that sound, that mood, that thought, moment after moment, just enough to be with the next thing, whether it's that kind of awareness and mindfulness that we're cultivating, or whether it's connecting to a particular one experience like the breath. Sometimes connecting to one experience like the breath, it's a little easier to notice or see how that connecting and sustaining is going. You know, that it, sometimes it's a little easier to kind of track the sustaining part with one object than it is with one object after another after another. But we learn, for me at least, I learned the kind of the feeling of being aware in the, when you're attending to a particular object, the experience of the sustaining of the attention is connected both to the awareness and the object. So there's a little bit more information that's available there. You know, it's like you can recognize, okay, yep, I'm with the beginning of the in-breath, the middle of the in-breath, the end of the in-breath, the beginning of, so we can kind of track that. So there's information from the object as well as from the awareness. In the moment-to-moment experience, there is a way to learn the experience of or recognize the quality of the continuity of awareness itself. And so that information is there. It's possible to track that. It's just a little bit more. For me, it was a little more learning. It was a little bit harder to get that feeling or that flavor of what it feels like to have that, what it feels like to be riding that scooter of mindfulness, you know, that with many objects coming and going. So this concentration that we cultivate, the purpose is for freedom. And that is expressed in the next link of the chain in transcendent dependent origination. Concentration is the supportive condition for knowing and seeing things as they are. Knowing and seeing the impermanent, unreliable, not self nature of experience. So that's the next piece that we'll talk about next time.